No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Trade Deadline Week on the Baseball Insiders. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined as always by FanSided's MLB Insider, Robert Murray. The trades are flowing. The weekend is over. The work week has begun. Will we get news today? Probably. We're now in the port of the year where that just happens when you least expect it. 10:48 p.m. tonight. You can book it. But in the meantime, you can talk to us on the podcast. Get your questions in. We'll answer as many of them as we can. We are going to be on every day this week leading up to the deadline. 3:30 Eastern today. 3:30 Eastern tomorrow. 3:30 Eastern on Wednesday. And 2 p.m. Eastern with 4 hours to spare before the deadline on Thursday. So plenty of time for tides to turn and things to change and Emmanuel Clase to do what now, but here to talk you through everything we know now and what might be coming. And again, answer your questions as best we can is FanSided MLB Insider Robert Murray. Robert, how you holding up?
I'm good. It's been quiet. Things are slowly starting to pick up a little bit on my end. Maybe have some news today or soonish, hopefully during the show. That would be nice. But it is always good to be here. It is the most active time of the year. and we're loving life over here. It's very, very busy, very fun, but good to be here with you as always. How are we doing, Adam? Happy Monday.
Doing good. We're alive. Join us in the Discord like the comments are saying, not to be trolled by Robert, but to get scoops as best we can, provide them, and occasionally tease news when it's close to breaking. Again, we might have something today. We don't know. We'll see. You're just going to have to watch and stay tuned. You might have to show up in the Discord afterwards, after the live stream. Join this YouTube channel, either the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier, and get your info there. Get your questions in, priority responses in this chat. You should also subscribe to the Moonshot, which Robert and the rest of the FanSided MLB staff writers put out once per week directly to your email inbox. You can read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Pavetta is King is asking how he can join the Discord. Join this YouTube channel. Hit join, become a member, sign up, and then you'll get the Discord link. If you're still having trouble, comment on a video and our folks will come and grab it for you. All right, a lot to sort through already. People getting their questions in early ahead of time. We're just going to talk about a few trending topics and then pivot to your questions because we just know so much is going on. I want to talk Yankees because they added Ryan McMahon this weekend and they added Ahmed Rosario. They are still pitching deficient, to say the least. Rotation and bullpen, both, I think the technical term is suck ass. But we've heard hints that they might even sell some of their rental relievers if they continue to spiral. Andy Martino was on that, saying, hey, you know, maybe, you know, Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, I don't know, shrug, maybe even Trent Grisham to the Mets. That feels unlikely to me. But what can you tell us about the Yankees' plans and who they're connected to and who they're talking with after making the plays that they had to make for some infield help? Joel Sherman today also said, hey, maybe another right-handed bat. Another bat? Okay.
Yeah. No, first of all, I want to give Joel a shout out for his column comparing the Yankees to the Colorado Rockies. He does not hold back. So we love Joel Sherman for that. But the Yankees, they are still very much looking for another bat. Like, he's right about that. Even after getting Rosario and McMahon, they need reinforcements there for sure. So that is not a surprise whatsoever. They're also continuing to look, they're looking for pitching, both starter and relievers. And they are indeed actually like entertaining the idea of possibly moving some of the guys that are only signed through the rest of the year, whether it's a Williams or like a Luke Weaver, or I think Luke Weaver is only signed through the rest of this year. Yeah. But that being said, like, I would call that extremely unlikely. This is just a team that is entertaining all sorts of different possibilities, but they want to win this year. And the best chance for them to win is with those guys, even despite some of their struggles throughout the season. Like, I put that in a very unlikely category, but considering the overall state of the market where there's just so few sellers and just, you have to listen just to see if you can take advantage of an opportunity, but I'm not getting my hopes up for anything happening there.
The comments also, Aiden weighing in saying Mets declaratively and then saying Mets as a question. So does he want to say Mets as a statement or ask about the Mets? We'll get back to that. But earlier, there was a Mitch Keller question, and I definitely wanted to probe you on that for sure. Because there were rumors that maybe the Pirates were getting more hesitant to trade Keller. Ken Rosenthal's column over the weekend sort of placed that burden on Ben Cherington's shoulders, saying, hey, you know, Bob Nutting is empowering him to make this call. Decision time is now. Indecision, he's not sure. Split between adding to the current core, trading from the core to add the offense they desperately need. What is the most likely outcome here? And when will the Pirates get a move on with maybe the most pieces to sell of anybody outside the Orioles? And they haven't really made any moves yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to say whether or not a trade is likely involving Mitch Keller. What I can confidently say is that the Pirates are continuing to talk to other teams about Keller as of this point. There's plenty of interest throughout the league in him, and rightfully so. Like, after Seth Lugo ended up signing that extension with the Kansas City Royals, Keller is one of the best options available, if not the best option. And the Pirates can be in a real position here where they can maximize his value. And if they don't end up getting those offers, they can hold on to him and have Keller, Paul Skenes, Bubba Chandler, when he's eventually called up, you can have that core of pitchers really headline the rest of the season and even going into next year, giving you one of the best rotations in baseball. So they can be selective. They can continue to listen on what exactly is going to be offered to them. There's certain reports about those discussions with them that, and specifically players that are being made available in those discussions, that I don't necessarily believe. But they should, if they end up trading Keller, which still a possibility for sure, they're going to get a lot in return there.
And the Bednar thing, you know, more eyes on Bednar, more eyes on Ryan Helsley, more eyes on every reliever because of the Emmanuel Clase news. Today on leave now, gambling investigation, it may be in conjunction with Ortiz, maybe a different investigation. The Guardians have reportedly been told no more players will be under fire there, under the gun. But yeah, Jim Bowden went on and said they were going to sell Clase. I was not operating under that assumption before this news dropped, but clearly that's a big domino taken out of the market. The Dodgers needing relief help, plenty of teams needing top-tier bullpen help. What does the Clase news do to that market, an already extremely high-priced market that the Pirates and Twins were sort of sitting atop of and the Cardinals and Helsley?
Yeah, that move sent shockwaves throughout baseball. And about a week ago, I was told that Clase, the son of a gun, Rosenthal just got it. Hmm. Yeah. Okay, talk for a sec.
Yeah. Understood. For those of you getting push notifications, Ken Rosenthal going ahead and tweeting that the Tigers are in serious discussions to acquire Chris Paddock from the Twins for a minor leaguer. Sources still him and Dan Hayes. Chris Paddock is supposed to start against the Red Sox this week, and now will presumably not do that. So there you go. Another break for Boston as they surge in the wild card picture. I don't know if anybody saw who Boston faced this weekend against the Dodgers in a three-game set at Dodger Stadium, but that was favorable to say the least. The Dodgers now send Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Glasnow to the mound in Cincinnati. That could genuinely spark a shake up that wild card race. I see these a lot of Red Sox questions. I was going to get to them after we talk this, but is there anything on the top of the relief market? We can move on afterwards.
No, so we're going with the relief market right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But going back to Clase and the original talking point here is the Guardians were absolutely willing to discuss him. And as of last week, that was their stance. And all of a sudden, recently, they just did a complete 180. And they went from being open to talking to him or talking about him to just shutting the door down completely. And it had teams wondering what exactly was going on there. And then all of a sudden, he's put on paid leave. And that is – the situation is not good. It's the second Guardians pitcher who has been who's had this happen to him. And it's players are reminded so much about this kind of thing, especially when it comes to gambling, that it shouldn't happen. So it is really unfortunate. It's shifted the relief market for sure, because you look here and you have, David Bednar, Ryan Helsley, you have the Twins relievers, you have all sorts of these other guys, and they're all getting a lot of interest. The Twins specifically have put a very high asking price out on their relievers, and it could be tough to pry one of them away from Minnesota. But that being said, David Bednar, his price isn't overly it's a lot for sure, but it's also reasonable at the same time. So I think he's got a fair chance of going in Pittsburgh, but the relief market is going to be very hot in the coming days and coming weeks. And it's probably going to be the most active market of all in terms of this. So we'll see, but I expect at least a couple of those guys to be traded for sure.
I'm a little confused about the comment saying that Paddock means Ryan is not getting traded. I don't think those two things are really interrelated, but I don't think Joe Ryan was getting traded regardless before this conversation was being had. Now I think similarly unlikely. We're going to start pivoting to a lot of your comments. I see so much information coming in, so please be patient. We're going to try to distill what we can. You folks are all on top of it, unsurprisingly, but we do have a super chat, and the super chat is talking about what I wanted to talk about anyway, which is the Red Sox and Yandy Diaz and the Red Sox and first base options. So last night on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, Buster Olney became the latest to connect the Sox and Yandy. He also connected the Reds and Yandy, which is interesting. The Reds go ahead and sweep the Rays and make some Rays players available. But what are your thoughts there on trading in the division, the Red Sox getting a controllable bat from their supposed division rival? This is why it pays to sweep the Rays before the trade deadline and before the All-Star break, because you never know what you might be able to get out of them if you do that.
Yeah, and it's something that makes so much sense here for the Boston Red Sox to go out and do, or at least explore. Yandy Diaz would be an absolute impact bat for them and give them a really strong infield presence that I think they need, or at least corner infield presence that they absolutely need. I believe he's got 18 homers this year. He's been great for Tampa Bay. And as of even a week ago, he was not on my radar to possibly be moved, but we saw Ken Rosenthal say the other day that they're loosening their, I can't remember exactly how I phrased it, but they're more open to doing it, or at least exploring it. So we'll see there. But he makes tremendous sense for Boston. They are also very much in the pitching market. And here's one name that I'm keeping my eye on with Boston. And this is me connecting dots. But in the offseason, they were very much in the Shane Bieber market. Yep. And they, at one point, I thought it was the day that he signed to go back to Cleveland. That morning, I thought he was, let's see. Ooh, hang on. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is what you get. If you're doing a trade deadline show four times the week of the trade deadline, occasionally you're going to get some dipping out. But I was almost going to lip sync Robert saying Shane Bieber there. because that is a fit I've been thinking about for the Red Sox as well. They picked Patrick Sandoval this offseason when they were trying to get the okay mid-year Tommy John guy. Maybe we get him for the second half. And they shut him down over the weekend. So that did not work out, but it's a strategy they have employed. They have tried to employ successfully in the past. Shane Bieber finally ready to return to action, it would seem. And so, yeah, I've connected those dots as well. And thank you for reinforcing that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's something that has been on my mind too. And Bieber would make a tremendous amount of sense there in Boston. But as I said, that at one point I thought he was going to Boston. I'm pretty sure he thought he was going to Boston too. And then the Guardians stepped up late and got him. If there's another team that I could see being in the market for a guy like Bieber, I wonder about the Detroit Tigers. They obviously are always looking for pitching. Pitching is a premium. I believe they've liked him in the past. So that's at least another one that I wanted to float onto the air. I'm sure there's going to be others that would be involved in Bieber. But I thought it was noteworthy that ESPN had him as a 50% chance of getting traded, at least if I'm remembering that correctly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is a name I'm watching. Those are the two teams among many that I'm watching there for Bieber.
Let's go to some White Sox updates, because I think Luis Robert Jr. has been discussed a lot today, especially connected to Mark Vientos of the Mets. Yes, Aiden Klee, we are talking Mets. Mets period, Mets question mark, both of them. Finally, we might be on the verge of Robert having the kind of value that will tempt the White Sox into making a move. I've heard Phillies connected to him as well. But yeah, the Vientos connection, which seems a little strong from the Mets side, has sort of leaked out today. So thoughts on the White Sox and the Luis Robert Jr. market, as well as the Mets' perceived interest there.
Yeah, so let's start off with Luis Robert in general. And the White Sox are definitely getting plenty of interest here for Luis Robert Jr. But that being said, they, at least internally, what they view Luis Robert Jr. is they view him as a guy that they have for at least two more seasons. And they are not going to be in a hurry to move him. And they don't feel like they have to move him right now. Is that posturing? Is that like trying to get the most from other teams? It very well could be. But that is their current stance as of this point. But he is absolutely getting plenty of interest in Philadelphia. Makes sense. The Mets, I mean, that fit makes sense for sure, especially with them looking for an outfielder. I don't know how much I buy the Vientos thing, if I'm being totally honest. That one, as we like to say on this show, does not pass the smell test. Adam knew exactly where I was going with that one. Oh, yeah. But he's getting plenty of interest. The trade is definitely a possibility. But he's also been out of the lineup a couple times recently as well. So that's another thing we got to keep in mind. I saw a John Heyman report the other day that he was progressing and it wasn't overly serious. So at least it's not a long-term worry by any means. But the best ability is availability. And so far throughout his career, and especially recently, he has not been out there. So another thing to keep in mind here.
It's the toughest hug watch to follow I can remember in a while, because every single day we're like, Luis Robert isn't playing. Is that anything? And they're like, no, he was scratched because he slept weird. It's like, all right, fine. But this finally may be the deadline with some desperation kicking in. I don't buy the Vientos fit either. We thank you for the question. Another super chat to Brian. What have we been hearing about the Giants? They are firmly in purgatory right now in terms of like, man, what do you do if you're where they are in the NL wildcard race? There was some trade Camilo Duval buzz that was coming out last night and today. What are they, do they know what bucket they're in, and what are they targeting?
Yeah, they're definitely, at least as of recently, been in the mindset that they're going to buy. That can be infielder, specifically like a second baseman type, could be pitching as far as a starting pitcher. They can go in a number of different ways here. But I expect them, to buy. I mean, obviously they got their big haul out of the way already, getting Rafael Devers. But I was talking about it recently with my dad, of all people, and he thinks that they should sell, him being a big Giants fan. But my guess is that they end up buying. I have not heard anything about a Duval trade. I know last year that was a pretty prominent rumor that was making the rounds, and there was a bunch of different teams that were going to be in the mix. Obviously was not traded, but they want to compete this year, and having Duval in the back of that bullpen is the best way for them to compete. So I don't anticipate him being traded, but I've been surprised before.
So everybody is watching the Marlins probable pitchers this week based on the comments that are flowing in now. Edward Cabrera, the extremely controllable Edward Cabrera, goes tonight. Sandy Alcantara goes tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals against Sonny Gray, another pitcher who I guess could maybe be traded this week. We had Cubs fans asking about Edward Cabrera. We had Red Sox fans asking about Edward Cabrera. What are you hearing on that market, particularly the Marlins have so many pieces. The Marlins are also near 500 and good.
Yeah, the Marlins have been on a surge recently. And I asked some people around the league, I'm like, could they actually like hold Pat or stand Pat and maybe even Adden? And the response was no. So the Cinderella run is great. It's like it's given them hope for sure. But my sense in talking to people around baseball is that the Marlins are going to continue to listen on Cabrera and Sandy Alcantara. That being said, I would be very, very surprised if they were moved in the next 24 hours. My read on the situation is that the asking price on both players is quite a bit. And it probably is a case where it'll come down to the last day. And so I'm not looking at anything imminent there by any means for the Marlins, but they hold some significant trade pieces here as far as rotation arms go, but nothing is imminent there. I will give you one name to watch here when it comes to Miami. Nick Fortes, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's a catcher who's had his playing time dwindle, and I would not be surprised in the slightest if he is moved in the next few days. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a couple deals, at least go across the finish line here in the next day or two. But he is a name that I've heard quite a bit, and I would not be surprised whatsoever if Fortes has moved before too long.
Nick Fortes, the most confusing name in baseball to me because I went to high school with a guy named Nick Fortes. Jay Fish 500, talk about the best team in the league. We just talked about the Marlins, so done. Check that one off the list. Jake Wood wants to know about the Cardinals' available relievers. I mean, I know it goes deeper than Helsley and Jojo Romero. We talked about the relief market a little bit earlier in the episode, but I do want to loop the Cardinals back in because of the Brendan Donovan stuff that heated up a little bit over the weekend. I've seen Donovan and the Dodgers. I've seen the Yankees would be interested in Donovan. Who wouldn't be? I mean, is that realistic? Is that something we should actually be tracking as the deadline approaches?
With the Cardinals, I would look at them with Steven Matz, Phil Maton, and Ryan Helsley. Those are the three names that I'm really watching when it comes to St. Louis. And Brendan Donovan is absolutely getting asked about in trades for sure. The teams that you listed. I also think a team like the Houston Astros would make a lot of sense, especially with their connections to Suarez in reports and also a guy like Ryan O'Hearn, who I've linked to Houston as well. They want to add a bat. And Donovan would be a really nice fit. I know he's a favorite of yours after you talked to him at the All-Star game, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be a really nice fit for Houston. But the asking price there is said to be very high. So I am not expecting a trade as of this point. Obviously, things can change, especially with deadlines spurring action. But I don't believe that the deadline will lead to a trade there. But again, I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's a favorite of mine. Of course, if he goes to the Astros, he is dead to me, but appreciate the question, of course. Daniel Fanone and Jay Fish and Brett Roshan want us to talk about the Blue Jays, which we definitely should because, they do have they went ahead and went into Detroit and showed them, gave them their business, took 3 out of 4, won the Tarek Skubal game. Can't really ask for more. They are on fire and always aggressive. So what are they targeting ahead of this all-important deadline as the best team in baseball?
Yeah, I was just about to say the best team in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays. It's flip-flopping between the Brewers and the Blue Jays, and I don't know how many people necessarily saw that coming this deep into the regular season, but it is absolutely awesome that the Blue Jays are doing this. And as we've always talked about, a very fun fan base. And I'm glad they're finally getting rewarded for what they've had to all go through within the last couple of years. But they are a team that I believe should absolutely be aggressive in trying to upgrade the roster here. I think pitching has to be their big priority there in Toronto. And that's my expectation as of this point. I don't have any names for you, but I expect them to be aggressive on the market. So I know that's probably not the update that you guys all wanted there. But that is what I can provide, and I can say that with confidence.
absolutely relentless lineup. They just run the Yankees over. The Yankees, as we've discussed, are quite bad, but that does not detract from anything that Toronto has done. They have just looked so dangerous, and any pitching to reinforce what they've got would be very helpful. Dalton Varsho also coming back soon. Red Sox and Blue Jays might be the two most fun teams in all baseball, not going to lie. Well, one of those is accurate. I would take the Red Sox off that list. Sorry, extremely biased. Anything on the Angels? We're getting a lot of questions. Please tell me Artie is going to be smart, from Jacob Hanratty. Obviously, we can never guarantee you that Artie is going to be smart, but what is the latest intel coming out of Anaheim? And Kenley Jansen, also another guy who has gained value in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, the Angels, they are indeed listening on their rental options. That is something that they are absolutely like willing to listen on for sure. I don't expect them to move anybody like signed long-term by any means. So I don't know if that, I don't know what that would necessarily mean for a guy like Taylor Ward or Joe Adell. But they are, what I can confidently say is they're listening on their rental guys, and it would not be surprised if they moved. I've seen a lot of people speculate that Kenley Jansen could be a fit for the Dodgers. I feel like it is more likely that like hell freezes over, that that Artie Moreno deals with the Dodgers. I genuinely, like, I can't see him doing it, especially after, like, I mean, we saw what happened. I believe it was a Jock Peterson trade when it, all those years ago, with that Artie ended up nixing at the last minute because he got too impatient or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact details. But I can't see Artie Moreno dealing with the Dodgers. So, I could be wrong, but I feel like I have an idea of what Artie's like, and I can't picture him doing that. But the rental guys are for sure there to be had.
Ross Stripling and Andy Páez also in that deal that never happened because Artie Moreno threw a temper tantrum. So there we go. I'll still go back to the Cubs and Mackenzie Gore, because I actually heard some Mackenzie Gore smoke before we hopped on here too, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. Like, I'm in the Twitterverse trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and I'm seeing Mackenzie Gore's name floating, but nothing legitimate. Is there anything tying him to the Cubs or any reason?
I got the return for Paddock. It's Enrique Jimenez. So at least I got that.
There we go. I knew that I was going to say Enrique Jimenez. I should have tweeted that. That's on me.
Yeah, if you want to go for a little bit, I'll at least.
Yeah. I'm going to scoop you on FCL Tigers catcher Enrique Jimenez. There you go, everybody. We were talking about the Mackenzie Gore Cubs connection before this went down. I just, you know, like, the Nats are in the depths right now. The Nats are also operating with a temporary front, like an inexperienced front office, a front office of assistants to Mike Rizzo, and they don't know what their long-term managerial future looks like. They're too in flux for me to think about, okay, the Mackenzie Gore for Matt Shaw does not make a lot of sense to me at the point where the Nats are. I even saw some Mackenzie Gore Yankee smoke before this podcast, and I think that came from Aldin Gonzalez and even Jeff Passan yesterday, saying the Yankees could get whoever they wanted from Ryan to Gore. The Yankees already have Max Fried and Carlos Rodon atop the rotation. What they need is a righty compliment. Like, I wouldn't pay crazy prices for Mackenzie Gore right now when they could bring in somebody like a Dylan Cease, who I've seen mentioned in the comments here. And is a rental and technically does not fit the Yankees' 2026 contention timeline and is also a Scott Boras client, but wouldn't be a bad fit for a team that's trying to figure out how to do a lot of things at the same time, including not absolutely bleed all the time whenever you bring any pitcher to the mound. So I would say the Cease smoke makes more sense for the Yankees to me than the Gore stuff does. But I will toss it to Robert when ready about Mackenzie Gore's market, if it exists. And then the Yankees and Cease. Every time I try to come up with a Cease trade package, it feels way too light. But also 2 months of a guy with an ERA in the high fours that we all know can be better. But still, I don't know. It's hard to figure that out for a team in the Padres also that's contending.
No, exactly. Yeah, this is deadline season. It's fun. I'm trying to respond to texts during the show here, so I appreciate you putting up with me, Adam. But starting off with Mackenzie Gore, the Nationals, I would be stunned if they moved him right now. You have an interim GM in place, and you just, in my eyes, you build around him. You build around that young core. Obviously, they'll listen for sure, because that's what good teams do. And yeah, the Cubs like him a lot, but then again, like, what team doesn't like him? So I'd be really surprised if a guy like Mackenzie Gore is ultimately traded. That being said, going to Dylan Cease here, the Padres have listened on him for quite a while. This is nothing new. That's just how they operate in San Diego. And it's something that Preller does. He's listened on Dylan Cease. He's listened on Robert Suarez. He's listened on a lot of different guys. Does that mean he's going to trade them? No. But what I was told the other day was that a Dylan Cease trade is a long shot. So I'm not getting my hopes up there for that to happen. I have also had it refuted. I don't believe it's accurate at all that he was offered along with Salas for Jaron Duran in Boston. I know that was a rumor that was floating around there quite a bit, but I've gotten a couple different denials on that. So take that for what it's worth. But again, I'm not expecting a Cease trade at this point. It's possible for sure, but as of now, I would call it a long shot. And also, I see Techno Mario. What's up, Techno Mario? Asking about the Phillies, and there's been a couple different people asking about the Philadelphia Phillies. They are definitely interested in Luis Robert Jr., but they're also very interested in adding a bullpen arm. And I believe the bullpen arm is the top priority for them, whether it's a David Bednar or Ryan Helsley. I mean, there's a bunch of different options that they can explore here. I even wondered if Dave Dombrowski could go after a guy like Emmanuel Clase. Obviously not anymore, considering his current situation there in Cleveland. But I would be pretty surprised if Dombrowski left this deadline without a reliever. He's going to get one. It's just a matter, kind of a matter of when, not if, at this point.
Appreciate all the Phillies questions and the flurry. We try to get to as many teams as we can. We are all watching a lot of different pots here, trying to handle, obviously, Robert trying to handle responses to texts. I'm trying to manage your questions. I appreciate everybody chiming in, though. So much good stuff. I don't want to leave the show without talking a little bit about the Diamondbacks, who we know have Eugenio Suarez, who, you know, don't let the fact that, you know, a couple of days have gone by since his homer barrage fool you. He is still the top bat on the market and more than likely to go for a haul. Intel today says they are listening on Ketley, listening on Gallen, as they should. What is the latest you're hearing on Arizona?
On Arizona, it is a case of they're listening on a lot of different rental guys here. And obviously, they've made some moves already. They traded Grichuk. They traded Naylor, and they are not done by any means. But they are also in a case where they are open to moving both of their starting pitchers as long as they end up getting what they believe is more value than a compensatory pick that they'd end up getting, or the I think it's a compensatory pick, or mm-hmm. I might be getting that wrong. They want more value than that in order to possibly move them. And in this kind of a market, that is definitely possible for sure. And you even wonder, even if they move them now, or one of them now, is it possible that they could come back in free agency, specifically a guy like Merrill Kelly? I think it's something to absolutely to watch here going forward. To have that in the back of your mind. Eugenio Suarez, his market is definitely very hot. And the Mariners have obviously been connected to him. I've heard the Chicago Cubs there plenty. I've heard the Phillies. There's a bunch of different teams involved. I did connect the Brewers to Suarez, at least as a fit. It was also funny seeing the report last night about the Brewers and Suarez and the three prospects that were listed there. That was also listed in a mock trade proposal on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yes.
So that, keep in mind who you're listening to at this time of the year. But yeah, the Diamondbacks are going to control this deadline. If they want to, they can be very active. If they want to, I expect them to be active, but Mike Hazen is going to hold off for the most value. He's made that very clear, both privately and publicly.
I want to get to one more comment before we sign off. There's just too much. There's always too much. The Dustin May Yankees rumor that people are referring to did come out right at the end of the show. We know, Robert, you and I have talked about Dustin May being heavily on the trade market. This comes from Pat Regazzo saying the Yankees have emerged as the early front runner for Dustin May. I don't know if the Dustin May sweepstakes need a front runner, certainly not an early one, but there you go. He just comes off of losing a game at Fenway Park on a clutch homer by Alex Bregman, so he'll fit right into the Yankees clubhouse. But what can you tell us about Dustin May, and maybe that is a potential Yankees target?
Yeah, he makes plenty of sense for the Yankees and just plenty of other teams as well. And I mean, you look at the Yankees, they absolutely need pitching in the worst way imaginable. he's either going to be one of many teams that are going to be involved in a guy like Dustin May. He's a rental option, so you got to like temper the expectations there and as far as a return. But if he can get you if he can get the Dodgers, say, like, I don't know, maybe an outfielder in return, I feel like that would make plenty of sense there for LA. But I don't think it's a guarantee that he's traded by any means, but a change of scenery there could be a very good thing for both sides, I think.
He has subtracted WAR this season, so he'll fit right in alongside Marcus Stroman. Okay, one final team. A lot of people asking Padres before we sign off. So I got to ask for the latest Padres intel. Every trade deadline story, it seems to, you know.
We might have something here. Cubs related. Jed Hoyer extended?
Excuse me?
Is that a thing?
Is that a thing coming from where? That is coming from Sahadev Sharma. Cubs have agreed to a multi-year extension with Jed Hoyer.
That's crazy. I did not expect that.
No better time to do that than 3 days before the trade deadline. Does that empower Jed? I mean, it's a lot. It's a show of faith.
Randy Dobnak is going to Detroit as well.
In the Paddock deal?
Yeah. Oops. I tweeted that it was the full trade. Whoopsie daisies. Good job by Jeff Passan who got that one.
Former Uber driver. Another former Uber driver in the bigs and Randy Dobnak.
Yeah, that's... Let's see here. I'm going to try to confirm that from Sahadev. But no, that's crazy. I did not expect that as far as the Cubs extending Jed Hoyer. But no, that's very interesting timing, to say the least. I don't know what we were talking about necessarily there.
The final, I just wanted Padres thoughts before we sign off. But again, everybody, we thank you for taking your time today. It's a hectic stream. You got people on Twitter asking Grok to summarize it for them. And then I told one guy not to do that. And then that guy asked Grok for my home address. So it's a dangerous game out there. Trade deadline season. Be careful out there. But we appreciate everybody joining us. We try to get you as much info as we can. And I was going to end on the Padres because we have so many Padres fans. And Preller is such a classic trade deadline character.
No, he loves the trade deadline, AJ Preller does. And he's been probably the most aggressive GM as far as trade conversations go. And that's just what he does. And I would not be surprised if he was involved in Emmanuel Clase, just knowing how he is and how he's wanted some pitching for sure. But I expect them to add at least another bat, maybe whether it's outfield or catcher, or maybe both. Adding to the bullpen, I think, would be something that he'd be open to as well, or even the rotation. Like, he's open to a lot of different things. I did not get the sense that he is – that they're in a hurry necessarily to like shed the bullpen depth by any means. So I don't know what that means for a guy like, let's see. Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
Well, I think now is probably the time to sign off. We've been on for 36 minutes. It's been a great time. We will see everybody again tomorrow at 3:30 with even more to talk about. Get your questions locked and loaded. A reasonable pace. We are happy to answer them. And reminder that after the trade deadline is over this weekend, August 2nd and August 3rd, Robert Murray and I will be at the National Card Show in Chicago, in Rosemont, Illinois, specifically Donald E. Stevens Convention Center, doing two live shows, wrapping up the deadline. Great guests. We will be live twice, 10 a.m. Central both days. Those shows will be available on the YouTube channel afterward. But if you want to see them live, the only place you can do it is at the National Card Show. We'll be doing a lot of interviews, a lot of card related content, memorabilia deals. So we can't wait for that. We hope we see some of you. People are telling me not to sign off and wait for Robert. Folks, I'm signing off because he's got business to handle. I would wait for him if he had something to give me right now. Although if he wants to give me something right now, he could.
I've got nothing. I've got nothing to confidently say yet. It's so funny. The entire day, my phone is like, it's active for sure, then the podcast happens and all of a sudden just like whoosh. No, Robert Suarez is not getting traded. How are you guys speculating that? I didn't get the sense that the Padres are trying to trade from their bullpen depth is what I'm trying to say. I'm not expecting a Suarez trade. It's not impossible, but I'm not expecting it right now.
The opposite of that, but we appreciate the concern as always and the scrambling. We will see everybody right back here at 3:30 Eastern tomorrow for another edition with more to spill. For Robert Murray, I'm Adam Weiner. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.